morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Oh, indeed. It's a Monday. How are you? You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this Monday and every day. And I want to start out this day with a very special shout out to my youngest daughter, Brianna. Oh, she'll love me for saying Brianna. Brie, she is 19 today. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, sweetheart. I know you've got a fun day planned for you, and we're so proud of you. And I hope you have a fabulous day. And if it's your birthday today as well, I wish you a happy birthday. You are special and important, and don't ever forget that. Well, you know, it's kind of fun. I have enjoyed the last few days out of the smoke, but it's not because it's clearing up in Salem, Oregon. No, indeed. Terry and I got on a plane, and we are off to another motorcycle rally, believe it or not. We are in Northwest Arkansas. It's kind of like, where's Waldo? Where's Stacy today, right? We did the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally last August, and now we're here in September in Northwest Arkansas, Rogers, Arkansas, and I'll be doing the broadcast from here all week. And I'm it's really exciting because I get to continue on the liberty and life and pursuit of happiness theme that I love to talk about and tie in who I know in Arkansas that's living life here along with what we do in Salem in the Pacific Northwest and how we're all in this together, really fighting for life and liberty and healing and all of those beautiful things that make life happen. And it's about building community, right? We're here to empower, engage, and educate and encourage one another. And we certainly have been through a year, haven't we? I joke, you've heard this. I joke quite a bit about that. Man, that leap day year kind of threw us all off, right? 2020, so many people said, oh, the biggest waste of a purchase is a day planner, right? Because every day we don't know where we're really going to be at the end of it. But we do know this, and I've said this over and over again, if we know who we are and whose we are, we will get through this. And I know so much has happened in the last 2 weeks in the Pacific Northwest, hearing stories over and over again about people that are surviving the fire, going back now and looking at their homes and what's left of it. Some homes, neighbors, homes destroyed, others are completely standing. It just don't even know why or how that even happens. But I do know this, we have some incredible champions, community champions have been rolling up their sleeves in the trenches, helping one another. And that's the beautiful part of all of this. Tragedy is tragedy. It's difficult, but we have one another. We're rolling up our sleeves and we're saying, we're going to get through this. We're going to be better for it, right? And that's really what it's all about. We think the hokey pokey is what it's all about. Nope. One another, loving one another, being there for one another really is what it's all about. And I'm so thankful for you, our listeners, for tuning in, giving me your feedback, giving me heads up on stories. Of course, there's traveling this weekend and traveling on Friday, and I heard the news of Ruth Bader Ginsburg passing. And it stirred up a lot of emotion and thought in me because there's, even though our ideas and ideologies are completely foreign from one another, she really busted through the ceiling on many issues for women. And really, we need to honor the position, right? We need to honor the fact that she did so much. Yes, there are a lot of things she did I didn't agree with, but she did so much for our country and opened up ways for women to be heard and be treated fairly and all of those things. And I think there's a place of honor in that regards. And I'm excited around the corner at who the next nominee will be. And I know it's all astir right now. And of course, guess who's stirring it up? Our mainstream media, stirring it all up, right? And so it's important that we get our talking points accurate and that we do the best that we can. And for me, it's honoring the position, honoring the woman in the got selected for the position. Her time is now has been served. We're going to honor her. Now we need to get that position filled. And I don't think that's wrong to talk about that. I know that she's going to have a memorial service. And I think the President Trump has said once that's completed, he'll start talking a little more about the nominee. But I did hear a sneak peek that it will be a woman? And that was my question. Will we have a woman replace her? And for me, that's important. You know, I know the character and the content of the decision making, but it is important that another woman be there. And I don't know how you feel about that, but that's how I feel. Now, speaking of incredible women, there is somebody that I met shortly after I moved to Northwest Arkansas. Now, I've shared my story a little bit with you all. Maybe you may or may not know it completely, but I was raised in Oregon, went to high school at Sprague, and then I went to work at Mount Rushmore for the summer of 1989, and I lived in South Dakota for 28 years. And you know how life happens. There's bumps and ups and downs and valleys and mountaintops and all of those things in life as you're raising your family and promoting them out of the nest. I had an opportunity to move to Northwest Arkansas, and it had been such a blessed time in my life. And one of the very first women that I had a chance to meet was Sandra Wormack, and she has been a good friend and a champion and someone who spoke life into my life at times that I needed it. And certainly she has done that for many, many people, and she has an important story that I want to share with you today. And so I'm sitting right now in her front room of a place called the Nicole House. And we're going to learn a little bit more as we go through this morning about the Nicole House. But I want you to meet Sandra and hear her story. And Sandra, say hi to the listeners and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Well, good morning, Salem. What a joy to connect with you all there on the West Coast. And so, yes, I'm Sandy Wormack, and I've had a lot of careers. So I became a teacher when I first graduated from high school, and then became an attorney, and then became a prosecutor, and then retired from that and moved to Arkansas because I met a man that I fell in love with that lived here. And I even had to look it up on the map to see where Arkansas was. That's how naive I was about where Arkansas was located. And now I can't think of living anywhere else. But during my time here, I had an opportunity to work for some other nonprofits. But in the midst of all of that, I lost my daughter to an accidental drug overdose. And so about 3 years ago, the Lord really impressed upon me that I needed to retire from the secular world and open a nonprofit that would serve women who are overcoming addiction. And so that's where we are today.
You know, we've heard in the news quite a bit about Mike Lindahl and the MyPillow guy and his amazing testimony of overcoming addiction and having a reset in his life, and now the powerful work that he's doing in the community. And I made that connection. I was like, whoa, that's just like his story is what's happening all the time here at the Nicole House. And early on, you're about 3-4 years old now. How
Not quite 3 years old.
Almost 3 years old. So early on, if anybody knows nonprofit work, which is my background as well as radio, is it takes a couple years to get your feet on the ground before you can even start getting grants and stuff. Talk to us a little bit about, in the time that we have here, we've got about 3 minutes yet, tell us about COVID and how that affected you all this spring.
Well, typically, we're not eligible for those kinds of grants. We fall under housing, and because we serve 7 women at a time, so it's 7, which is a small number, is women, and specifically in addiction. And so typically, we're not eligible for grants. But because of COVID, it's been an interesting blessing for us because we have been eligible to apply for grants because of housing and food and those things that we do provide for the women who are in our program. And so we've been blessed to get about $43,000 in grants since May. And that's been a real blessing for us because giving has kind of declined. And so those grants have been made available to us, and we're really grateful for that. And it allows these women to be sure that we're going to stay open, remain open, and they're going to complete their year and their journey out of here to be successful back in their communities.
I want to describe for our listeners today, just to kind of give you an idea of this home that I'm in. It's downtown, in the downtown area, but it's kind of conspicuous. You know, it's a beautiful older home that you've had to kind of renovate and get prepared to be a place to house women, right? And a lot of these women are gals who have families. They're getting back into society. Are they required to have a job?
Eventually, we would like for them to work, but just part-time. In order for them to really be successful in our program and spend all the time that they need in all the elements of the program, we only want them to work 24 hours a week, and we don't push that until they're about 6 weeks into their residency here, and then we do help them with that. We have wonderful felon-friendly employers who trust us, who love us, and so we're really blessed in that way.
One of the things that's really interesting about this outreach in ministry that's different than others, I was involved with something similar to this in South Dakota, but it was just mostly women in crisis. It wasn't so much that they had a chemical dependency issue. Talk to us about the uniqueness of this program.
Well, we do serve women coming out of addiction, and that's our criteria. And what is unique is that most of our women are coming out of incarceration as well. And so you have that double stigma. So you've been incarcerated, but prior to that, you were couch surfing, or prior to that, you were a victim of human or sex trafficking. So all of those things come together. And their crisis is pretty much like other women in crisis who have been abused. We find a lot of times these women come to us with hepatitis C or sexually transmitted diseases. They have court hearings. They're serving parole or probation. So it's a little different in that way, but the brokenness is the same.
So true. The brokenness and their identity of who they are has been shifted around so much, probably from childhood. A lot of these gals have probably had abandonment issues and things that led up to even abortion, I found, led up to the chemical dependency and the issues that go on there. And oftentimes what we see is that people learn skills that don't serve them well, right? So you do a life skills program as well.
We do. It's interesting. Like I said, if they have been couch surfing or they've been living in a hotel, they don't know how to cook. They don't know how to clean because they didn't have to do that where they were at. And so they don't have an appreciation for a clean environment or clean clothes or having nutritious food. And so that's part of the life skills. Some of our women come and don't even know how to operate a washing machine or how to turn the oven on or operate the dishwasher. And so we just take a look at where they're at with those things and make sure that they get those abilities. As well as we have parenting classes, cooking and nutrition classes. So we find out exactly what that individual needs and make sure that they are exposed to the training and education in that area. So when they leave here, they're ready to embrace the new walk and be able to walk in it successfully.
Now, when I was here, we had a graduation ceremony of a gal that was your first graduate, right? And she was such a participant in the home and out in the community and things. Can you give us an update on her?
Well, her name is Annie, and Annie's doing amazing. She's still sober, still successful. She was able to be reunited with her daughter. They were estranged, and that relationship has been restored, and her daughter now lives with her. She's got a new car. She's in a new apartment that was never lived in before. She actually got a job giving back at Decision Point, helping people in recovery. And she's still an advocate to this day. So she's doing great.
That's awesome. So we are definitely learning together on how to help people and line ourselves up. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio from Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas. So glad to have you along, my friend. When we get back from this break, we're going to have some more questions for Sandra. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back. Good morning, Salem. So glad to have you on listening this morning. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. News that you can use on this 21st day of September. Here to educate, engage, empower, and encourage you today. Thank you for tuning in. Let us know if you have something going on in your community that you'd like us to partner and promote. Send it to us, Stacy@kslm.news. That's Stacy with an E. And we want to do a shout out to our show sponsor, Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency. If you need any insurance or maybe you're looking for a financial plan, get a hold of Bill. He'd love to go alongside of you and coach you along with that. Give him a call, 503-885-0789. Visiting here today on the show from Northwest Arkansas, now technically Wednesday, is the rally. Let me give you a little background about that. And let me tell you a little bit about what's going on here in Arkansas on the whole mask thing. As we travel across the airways, of course, it's absolutely a requirement that you wear a mask. There is no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Doesn't matter if you have a medical condition, you have to wear a mask. That's just how it is on the airlines. But once you land on the ground here, it's interesting. There is a lot of encouragement to wear masks and have social distancing. And I believe now the actual governor has come out and kind of given a little bit of a mandate. But there's a lot of liberty-loving people here. And most people, if they have, if they're at risk, they'll wear a mask. Or if their loved ones are at risk, I've noticed and I've talked with them, they're wearing masks. But for the most part, they're not hindering you. If you walk into a store, they're not going to harass you. You might hear a comment, just like back there in Oregon, you may hear a comment from another person, a customer in the store. But overall, it's not as heavy and as troubling as it has been in Oregon for most of us. Although, I don't know if you've seen some of the social media here in Oregon, or in Oregon right now, a lot of people are starting to buck up against the mask. With the smoky airways, it made sense to wear the mask because anywhere you go, you got that smoke in your nose. But as that's clearing off, be looking around, be watching. There's going to be some things going on talking about that, I think. A lockdown till November 3rd sounds a little politically motivated to me. I don't know about you, but certainly as we move through the next few weeks, how many weeks now? 6 weeks until the election. Now, coming up in a few days, we're going to start seeing pamphlets coming to our home where we can start deciding about who to vote. Don't forget to get registered. We need to get registered to vote, and we'll be working on, and we have been working on our website and getting kind of a call to action election 2020 tab ready so you can make sure to track your vote and make sure you get registered, your friends and families as well. No matter where you are in the country, we need to make sure. And in fact, I was talking to a group of people just yesterday that we need to make sure that we get our vote. If we absentee vote, we hand it in. Don't worry about mailing it. Just if we can get it in ourselves and make sure that it's in and then track it, especially in Oregon, this is going to be critical that we get this done. And even more so with the Supreme Court vacancy, it's really important that our senators hear from us to say, yes, we need to get someone elect in that seat appointed. That's why we've elected you to do your job. That's why we elected a president to do his job. And that's what needs to happen when there's a vacancy. How much more needed when we get through a contentious election? We'll need that seat filled by the time the election happens. If we can get it done by then, we'll see. We're continuing the conversation here in Northwest Arkansas at a place called the Nicole House. It's a beautiful home for women. It's a really good transition place filled with peace and love. And as looking around, you just feel at home. I just want to sit in this easy chair right here and drink a cup of coffee and rock for a little bit. It's just very cozy. And it's a beautiful place, a transition for women who are looking for a little bit of encouragement along their path in life. And I've got Sandra Warmack here, the executive director. Her and I became fast friends. We have kindred spirits and hearts. Both love the Lord. And we love to see people win. We love to come alongside and coach them. We talked a little bit about Annie, but talk to me a little bit what it's like to come alongside. What is the woman when she first is coming here, or when you're looking at bringing someone in? Talk to me a little bit about that process.
Well, we do have an application, and we don't talk to anybody until we see that application and they sign the memorandum of understanding. So there's no surprises as to what they can expect as well when they come in. I think we look at, you know, their criminal history doesn't scare me at all. We can work with that. We do look and see if there's any mental health issues, any any suicide attempts, anything like that, so we understand how deep of a mental health issue we might be working with as well. We look to see if they have children, because although we don't provide for children here, we see every woman that's ever come into this program has been reunited with her children before the end of that year, and we've seen those relationships prosper and grow. I think our program is so well-rounded that that every woman receives everything that she's going to need to be successful. But I think the most important thing that we do, and I've heard you speak about it this morning with Ruth Bader Ginsburg and with anybody in the office, is honor. You know, we need to honor one another. We are our fellow human beings. And so just because some of us have a past or a history does not mean that they're not deserving of that honor and that they're not deserving of seeing what they can have when they commit and submit themselves to a program and to the Lord in the process. And so even we share meals together, and it's important to me that the ladies not throw ramen noodles, you know, on the table as something that we're going to have for an evening meal, that we honor one another, that we make a meal that is worthy of that person, and that we can sit at that table and have fellowship and enjoy that meal and feel honor amongst ourselves and have positive conversations. And that's not something that I can put tangibly in any of our six pillars to freedom. But it's the most important one, is that we honor them where they're at and recognize the potential, because God created each and every one of them, and he has a plan for each and every person. And whether that plan's been delayed by choice or whatever, that person still is worthy of honor, and that person is still worthy as a person on their very own. They have value. And it's kind of, you know, you hear the every life matters, and to me, every life matters.
That's powerful. And when we think about this reset we've had in society with COVID, Sandra, when I think about families that are so busy and they want their kids to have all the opportunities and they're doing this after school activity and soccer and all of that. And I remember five kids and how busy my life was, and you're just wanting to provide for your kids, that oftentimes you lose that value of sitting all down at a table face to face, having a meal, and how that connection is. It's just get whatever you need to get in your stomach to fulfill the hunger, and let's move on to the next thing. So it's really an interesting time that we live in. When we get back from this break, let's talk about a little bit about those pillars and how that is the gateway to freedom. Does that sound good? All right. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, here in Northwest Arkansas. Talking with Sandra Wormack, we're talking about Nicole House, a wonderful program here in Arkansas, but we've got people that support it from all over, and it, certainly this model could be birthed anywhere in the country. I love it. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. Wherever you're listening this morning, thank you for tuning in. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Don't forget to look us up on the website, kslm.news, and like us on Facebook, KSLM Radio. Share with your friends and family. We're going to have something starting the end of this next week. We're going to start doing some things with our Facebook page, like some little giveaways and things when you share. So be watching for that. And of course, coming on October 1st, oh my goodness, that'll be right around the corner. October 1st, we're going to go to 2 hours. Ooh, I'm excited and a little nervous about that, but I think it's going to be great. We're going to be able to take more phone calls and interact with you a little more. And of course, building up to the election, I think we'll have plenty to talk about. What do you think? And so I want to encourage you to stay connected with us, like us on Facebook, send us a message there. Certainly, if you have information in regards to your nonprofit, your community service, you've got something coming up, we'd certainly like to let people know. If you're distributing signs somewhere and you're involved in a political campaign and you're going to do meet and greets and things, I know it's so limited right now, please let us know. We'd love to let people know what's going on in our community. Send me an email, Stacy at kslm.news. I also want to thank Dave and Paige Smith for being morning show sponsors. They have Realty One Group Willamette Valley, and they're ready to go above and beyond to serve you. Give them a call. They'll help you with your real estate needs, 503-939-7099. Having a wonderful conversation this morning with Sandra Warmack. She's my friend here in Northwest Arkansas. Yes, we're here. We got another bike rally coming up. In fact, the folks in Fayetteville, it's the biggest charitable bike rally in the country. And the folks in Fayetteville voted early on, I think it was like before even summer, that they weren't going to have an official quote-unquote bikes, blues, and barbecue. But you know how bikers are. They're pretty independent spirit folks, right? And they mitigate their risk every single day when they ride a bike. And they said, you know, the weather's going to be great. We're going to ride anyway. And so with that, the dealership here in Rogers, Pigtrail Harley-Davidson, decided, well, let's put some vendor tents up and let's host these great folks that are coming to the area. And so they called Terry and I and said, why don't you come up and help us like you've done the last several years? And so here we are. And this is my other thing that I do. I'm a motorcycle enthusiast and I love the radio. So that's where we're at. We're here in Northwest Arkansas. So glad to continue the conversation this morning with Sandra Warmack talking about the Nicole House. And when I moved to Northwest Arkansas, Sandra and I connected right away. And I love the mission of the Nicole House. And I just want to share for a moment with our valued listeners and friends out there. I know many of you are parents. You're maybe empty nesters, or maybe you have teenagers in the home, maybe you have college students, and you've worked through issues of either in your own home or people that you know that have had to face a chemical addiction and dependency. And we all know the rippling effect that it has on the family, right? And I want to speak to a little bit, because Sandra, this is part of who you are in your story with your daughter. And tell a little bit more about Nicole and her struggle, and speak to that parent out there that's not sure what to do for their child that's struggling. You love your child where they're at. You want to help them, and they always come to you when they need help, right? But they don't ever really want to hear your wisdom before that time. Talk to that parent. And also, I want you to share a little bit about if people are interested in maybe having their loved one come to Nicole House in the future, how would they do that?
Yes, thank you. So Nicole's House is named after my daughter, Nicole, who died of an accidental drug overdose in 2012. And initially, I just kind of shoved it underneath my spirit and just tried to just forget that happened. I think so many people have done that when they've lost someone to addiction. Number one, because there's such a stigma with it. And so it's the people imply that they're a lower class or less worthy, or that they could have done something about it. So that's one thing. And the second thing was that I, as a parent, felt, you know, guilt and shame and failure for not being able to do something that would allow my child to overcome. There was nothing I could say or nothing I could do that would change that. And so when you feel ineffective that way, then there's a lot of guilt and shame with that. And so I just kind of shoved that back in the far corners of my spirit and just continued working in my secular job. And then the Lord just spoke to me very, very clearly in 2017 and said, you need to retire from your secular job and you need to open transitional housing. And that was a really new concept, because even during my time as a prosecutor, transitional housing did not exist. And so the only option you had was incarceration. And so I had to visit 29 transitional homes in 4 states to just find out exactly what I could anticipate and expect and try to pull the best things. And I still missed it. You know, we still miss things like, what if they want to get a tattoo? And what if they want a date and things like that? But fortunately, our program is very fluid, and so we make those adjustments as we learn. As we learn from that, so we make those adjustments. So our website has our application on it, and that's nicoleshouse.info. And the application is under the About in our program tab. A person can go there, and that's where we start, is with the application. So if you are the parent or the spouse of someone who is 25, a woman who is 25 and older, who's struggling with addiction, We definitely would consider you for our one-year faith-based program here in Rogers, Arkansas. Matter of fact, one of our new women, Taylor, just came to us last Thursday. She flew in from Orlando, Florida, to be in our program. So it's even though we're housed in Northwest Arkansas, that does not mean that that eliminates anybody else from being able to be in our program. Right now, we have a Native American from the reservation in Oklahoma, and it's doing very well here. So our location doesn't necessarily mean that's all we serve. We'll serve anyone where how God leads me, because we pray over every application and we vet our people pretty solidly. We ask a lot of good questions and we want to make sure you're sincere and that you want Jesus as part of your plan, so that we're faith-based, Christ-centered, and we make no apologies for that. And so that's where we're at.
I love that part of it, because we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and true healing happens when we hit all elements of who we are, as our spiritual side, our physical, our emotional, all of those things encompass who we are. And of course, my background in sociology and human services and crisis intervention and all of those things, it's like this resonates with me, this program resonates with me, because it addresses all of that, and there's freedom and liberty to look at all of that. And I also know the success rate when the spiritual element and Jesus Christ is a part of that is huge. It says clean, you know, having a clean heart, having that regeneration, you're a new person in Christ, right? When they have that full understanding. And then the Word of God is a great tool to learn who they are, right? And we really are having an identity crisis, right, in our country. People don't know who they are, and they don't know whose they are. And every person that I know who's gotten that straight and they've figured that out and surrounded by love and coach, they're a whole new person. And it doesn't matter how old they are. I know 60-year-olds. I know 65-year-olds. I know 20-year-olds who have been reset in life and they've started new. And so if you're a parent out there, or maybe this is you, maybe we're talking to you and you're thinking, man, this program speaks to me. I'm not in trouble with the law, but I have an issue and I need to get some help. Or maybe you had been in trouble with the law and you're looking for options, or you know somebody who is. I encourage you to go to the website. Sandra, in the time that we have, talk to us a little bit about the pillars and the process to graduation.
So our program is called Six Pillars to Freedom. And so our first pillar, of course, is Jesus. And we make sure that you get connected with the church where you're comfortable, where your walk is. We do a spiritual assessment. We find out exactly what your comfort level is and what your knowledge level is with the Word, with doing devotions, with prayer time, and just kind of see what your comfort level is and what you know and how to do those things and connect directly, because it's all about relationship with Jesus. The second pillar is recovery, of course. And we ask our women to attend 3 to 5 recovery meetings per week. We are blessed at Nicole's house that we have people who actually will come in and do Celebrate Recovery, Reformers Unanimous, Recovery for Life, and AA, because many of those groups aren't meeting as groups right now outside. But we have people who will come in and just minister to our 7 women. And so we're really blessed with that. We also do a step study. So that's where you break down the steps and you really, you know, you admit that you're powerless, and then you do your personal inventory. We take that step by step and spend 2 or 3 weeks on each step. Our next pillar is called support system. We don't want you going back to your own playground. We want you to have a new community when you leave here, that you're going out into your community as a much different person. And so how do we build those support systems? Well, people through church, people through recovery. We assign a lady with a mentor. She has a sponsor. The other volunteers that come into the house. So that's your support system once you leave. And we build that for that year for you, so that when you leave, you have those people you can call upon. And then our fourth one is self-care. So many women come to us and they have hepatitis C, or they have broken teeth because they're meth users. They haven't taken care of themselves. And so we require that every woman receive physical health, medical health, mental health, vision, and dental care. So probably about 7 of our women have received dentures in the last 2.5 years. And we have a doctor who does vision care and provides glasses for them, all free of charge. It's just is something that, that he wants to give back to the ministry. And then we talk about exercise, and there's every woman gets a bicycle from Pedal It Forward, and that's theirs to keep. And so they get the helmet and the bicycle lock and the bicycle, and so they're exercising and have, you know, in doing well with that. And then we have someone who does free haircuts. We do makeovers. We do facial masks. We paint nails. And we just really have a good time and let them feel like they're really a strong woman.
So exciting to learn that process and to watch it over the last several years. We're talking with Sandra Warmack here at Nicole's House, Northwest Arkansas. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Ann. We'll be back after this break. Good morning, Salem. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. So glad to be hanging out with you here in Northwest Arkansas. On the road again, yes. Kind of fun to be hanging out with you, you know, but all of these issues that we're talking about, no matter where we live, they're affecting our day-to-day life, and it's so fun to be on the road and being able to connect. And I do a shout out to our engineer Phil, who makes it happen, and we can still take phone calls. In fact, 503-589-1220 is our talk line, and I believe on the air with me today is our friend Ron. Good morning, Ron, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. Keep me in prayer, because I have a couple of friend of mine's addiction is very bad. And the thing is, one of my friends and his twin brother's in the hospital in San Diego, California right now. One's trying to do the thing, but unfortunately, I may have to make a trip down there because he's going to be going to hospice. He has family that is from, his dad and his stepmom is from out there in Arkansas by Hot Springs. And, I'm going to tell you, as a person who had a stepbrother died 5 years ago, who was my friend, lifetime friend, one of two blacks who was in FFA together in California. He became one of the first black Southern Region Central Section and the first state vice president of California Associated Food for America. What good is all the money and everything else, education from UC Davis that he got for scholarship from FFA, if you're going to not surround yourself with good people and use drugs as a band-aid, whether it's meth, heroin, or like what's happened to my best friends, drinking themselves basically to death, drunkenly. You have to have people around yourself. You cannot go through and serve two masters, as the Lord says, and at the same time, you have to sharpen iron with iron.
Yes.
Stacey Ann, you know, this society is right now, it's most critical time probably before since the Depression, where our churches is limited, rehabilitations are limited, and everything else. But I like, you know, and but there is good light at the end of that. We are called to be the light, and I'm very
we are called to be the light. You're right. Mm-hmm. Oh, such a good word and good reminder, Ron, that people around us are struggling. And if they don't have the Lord, it's easy to turn to chemicals to relieve initially that stress, but they're so addictive and it's destroying, it's life destroying. You're right, where people have all these degrees and all this knowledge, but if they're dependent on chemicals, it's not good. It's not good for them. It's not good for their family. Thank you for joining the conversation. You have a blessed day, Ron. Thank you.
You too. God bless you.
God bless. So Ron shared, take care. Ron shared with us today that his good friends struggling with chemical addiction, and it's so important that we be in community with one another and that we speak love and truth and be the light to one another. And that's why these programs are so important, Sandra, that we support them financially. And this particular program is faith-based. And having been in the nonprofit world and myself running a ministry in the past, I know it's very difficult to get a lot of those public funds to support what we do because we don't want to compromise on that spiritual element of the recovery. And so it's so exciting to watch this program grow, watch now that seven women are going to be impacted their lives forever. And sometimes they don't graduate. Sometimes they don't finish the program, not because they go back to addiction. It's life changes and things happen, and that's just a part of it. But the fact that they have been here has impacted their lives so much. And I know you have people like that that you're still in touch with, and it kind of chokes me up a little bit, and how they're out there living successful lives, and maybe they didn't officially graduate, but they're impacting other lives for good. And we're not responsible for the results. We're responsible when we set up a ministry or a nonprofit organization just to be responsible to do our part. We can't control the results or the outcomes because we're working with individuals with free will spirits, right? How do you handle that? Is it because you have this, like me, a nurturing mother spirit, right? How do you handle that when people don't see the big picture value as we do when they come into the program?
Well, the first time it really hurt, and I just really mulled over and felt like I'd failed somewhere. But I will say, overall, we've served 25 women in 32 months, and 21 of those women are still sober, whether they graduated from the program or not. And so last Saturday, we had a baby shower for one of our women who had been here, and probably about 7 or 8 of our folks who were alumni came back to celebrate with her in anticipation of her baby that's due next month. And so those are the things that give you encouragement. And then I have, without fail, every woman has eventually been in touch with me and said, I now see what you were trying to do, or I appreciate the seeds that you sowed, or I appreciate the way you spoke into my life. And so we are still in touch with many, many of those women, and we encourage them where they are in their walk. And some of them got it after 6 months, even though our program is a year. And so just because they left didn't mean it was a failure. It just meant they were ready. So
one of the things that in working in the helping field and working in the recovery field that I know is there tends to be a whole bunch of baggage, a whole bunch of unforgiveness, a whole bunch of resentment. And just in general, as our listeners know and people know just walking through life, we get hurt. We have people steal from us or are disloyal or misguide us or we're deceived some way or another. And what I love about these programs is it helps us look at ourselves and look at our baggage and look at our resentment and our unforgiveness and how that plays a role of our perception. And we cannot move forward with resentment and unforgiveness in our lives. And I think, don't you think that's a big part of the addiction process, is a lot of those things that they're holding on to that they haven't been able to deal with and release?
That's absolutely true. And I'm reminded of the story of Joseph. What the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. And so if we can help women recognize the work of the enemy, then that's half the battle. And so when they come into an environment, we have what's called a culture of kindness. So we ask every woman before we speak, is it kind? Is it helpful? And is it the truth? And that's how we operate. So we've never had residents in each other's face screaming at each other. We've never had anybody destroy property or anything, because we're going to go right back to the culture of kindness and bring everybody back there and help them recognize the work of the enemy. That's what we miss so many times. We miss what the enemy's trying to do to us. And when we recognize that and we rise above that and take Jesus along for the ride, then we're overcomers.
I'm just thinking here, friends, can you imagine the Pacific Northwest or even mainstream media all over the country if they ran by that rule? Is it kind? What was it? Is it helpful? Is it the truth? Can you imagine how it would change the perspective of what we're feeding and we're seeing and we're having to go through in our thinking process? I absolutely love that. And from that comes good fruit, right? And parents, grandparents, when we're talking with our kids and we're wrestling with them, the same thing. It's so good. So glad to have you along today for this conversation. Give us your website.
It's nicoleshouse.info. And that's nicoleshouse.info. 479-372-6122.
Thank you so much, Sandra, for joining me and our listeners today. We wish you well. We'll keep you in our prayers. Thank you, friends, for tuning in today. Tomorrow will be another adventure here in Northwest Arkansas. You have a blessed day. Remember, no matter what you're facing, over, under, around, or through, you and I, we're overcomers. Have a great day.